Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Word today. Andrew is my name. I'm one of the pastors here at Watoto Church. We are continuing with our series we started last week called Family Matters. You know, when families are healthy, communities are healthy, but also the nation is healthy. That's why as Watoto, we take off time the whole month to deal with family matters, because we know that family is very important. Pastor Calvin last week preached a great sermon of God's design for marriage. And one of the key highlights there is marriage is between one man, one woman, committed in a covenant relationship. And if you missed it, please go to our website. You'll be able to get that message. So today I want to bring you sermon number two. We are going to be dealing with overcoming sexual sin. Open your Bibles to John 8 from verse 1 to 11. We'll also read John 4. John 8 verse 1 says this. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone to her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had risen himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more. Then the other portion we want to read together today is John 4, verses 9 to 18. This is what it says, verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, saying to Jesus, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? And are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that shall give him will come in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you speak truly. Father, we thank you that your word is powerful. Today we pray the entrance of your word will bring understanding in this topic of sexual sin. We thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, the world is grappling with pain as a result of deviating from God's plan for sex. And the result of deviating from God's plan brings guilt. It brings condemnation. It brings abortion. It brings children being born out of wedlock. It brings a lot of pain in society and divorce. And as a result of that is because mankind, you and I, when we deviate from God's plan, trouble is coming. And so we see sexual sin in our environment and the pain it causes. And families end up being destroyed. And so today I want to spend a few minutes looking at the Word of God and seeing how does the Word of God help us overcome sexual sin. The text we read today, it has two ladies who were involved in sexual sin. They were struggling. And then we have Jesus, and we see the response that Jesus gives them. So how do we overcome sexual sin? According to Jesus, how he dealt with it, he gives us two ways we can do this. Number one, Jesus extends grace and not condemnation. From the two stories, we have one lady caught in the act of adultery. We have another one that has five husbands. And even the husband she had was not hers. They had one thing in common. Both the ladies had emptiness inside. You see, we all have a void. And that void was not meant to be fulfilled by sexual desires. That void was meant to be filled by God. And so that void that we have, the void that these ladies had, they indulged into sexual sin. And you see, some of us, the way we fill this void is maybe alcohol, but others, pornography, others, you know, homosexuality, others, fornication, others, adultery, and all kinds of sexual activities. I want to tell you that when we do such things, it leaves us worse. We never become better. We live worse than we were when we indulge into sexual sin. I remember as a young man struggling with pornography. And it ate me up. I'd be in my bedroom and I'm struggling. I'm wondering what should I do? And pornography led into living a morally bad life, a life that did not glorify God. But I thank God that in that mess, I met Jesus like these ladies. You see, on top of sexual sin living you empty inside, it brings a lot of emotional pain. It brings a lot of disappointment, bitterness, shame. And as a result of that, we see that these two ladies were ostracized. They were empty, they were ashamed, and society decided to ostracize them. So what did Jesus do? In the midst of their pain and shame and denial, Jesus did not condemn them. Jesus extended grace. You see, when you're struggling with sexual sin, grace is the way, not condemnation. Listen to the word the Bible says, John 8:10. When Jesus had risen himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, or she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Jesus did not condemn both ladies. Instead, Jesus showed mercy and grace. You see, sexual sin comes with a lot of shame, and many people hide because of that shame. And Jesus understood this, that these two ladies were ashamed, they were broken, they were empty. So instead of joining the multitudes to condemn them, Jesus extends grace to them. Because it's the grace of God that leads us to repentance. So you make me wondering, but Pastor, if you extend grace, is Jesus saying that they should continue in sin? No. The grace that God was extending to them was so that he can love on them and fill the void that they were going through. In fact, the grace of God comes before change. When people experience the grace of God, that's where true change comes from. Paul reminds us in Romans 8:1 to 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. We too need to act like Jesus. We need to always extend grace to people who are struggling with sexual sin. We should never be a part of the multitudes that are throwing stones, that are condemning. You see, when people are struggling with sexual sin, what they need is the grace of God to meet them where they are. Christ was loving on them because Christ wanted to fill the void that they were going through. I remember the story we have just read in John 4, 13. This is what it says. Jesus answered and said to her, the woman at the well, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." We see Jesus inviting this lady to receive the river of life, Jesus himself. When we totally surrender to God and allow him to come in our lives because of the grace he has given us, we will not live in habitual sexual sin. Condemnation never changes people. It is the grace of God that changes people. I want to tell you this. Condemnation is Satan's weapon to keep you defeated. But the grace of God is God's weapon for your victory. You may be out there and you're struggling and you're hiding. I want you to come out. Let the grace of God bring you to repentance. Let the grace of God receive you. God loves you and he doesn't condemn you. But what I love about the grace of God, it not only receives you the way you were, it never leaves you the same. The grace of God will draw you closer to him. But it's so great to leave you the same, it will change your life. And so number one, we see the way Jesus dealt with this, he extended grace. Number two, secondly, grace empowers us to change. After Jesus had extended grace to these ladies by saying, "I don't condemn you," Jesus did not stop there. Instead, he continued. And this is what he said. Verse 11, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Friends, that's a great statement of saying, go and sin no more. But go and sin no more is impossible if you try to do it on your own. In fact, I know. When I was struggling with pornography, I tried to do it on my own. I tried to do certain things, self-will, and read these books. I failed. I continued in the same cycle. Same cycle. So when God says, go and sin no more, it is only possible to go and sin no more through the grace of God. You see, the grace of God draws you near to him, and the grace of God empowers you to change. Paul writes to his son Titus 2, verse 11 to 12. And this is what Paul says. "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." So what do we learn from this text that Paul is writing to us about the grace of God empowering us? Two things when it comes to sexual sin. Number one, the grace of God gives us the power to say no to sexual sin. Paul says that this grace that God gives us empowers us to say no to worldly passions. I have never seen someone die because of not having sex. And so the grace of God empowers us to say no. I love verse 12. It says, it teaches us, the key word is teaches. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. So this requires us, you and I, to depend on the grace of God in this process. You see, many people say, "You know, Pastor, this is how I was born. The reason I'm struggling with masturbation and pornography and adultery and fornication is because this is where I was born." Others say, "You know, God's grace is available, so if God wants to set me free from this, he will do it on his own timing." I believe that's a lie from the enemy. I believe that is far from the truth of God's word. I believe that this grace that helps us to say no to sexual sin is available to us, but we need to collaborate with God. There is God's part giving us the grace. There is our part, and our part is to receive, to allow his teaching so that we deal with this. So what are some of the things we do to say no to sexual sin? A couple of things. Control what you watch. Many of us are struggling in sexual sin. You know, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, bestiality. The reason we are struggling is because of the things we expose our eyes to. I remember Job saying, I've made a covenant with my God not to set my eyes on lustful things. What are you watching? Guard your mind. Guard what you watch. Set boundaries on relationships. As a pastor, and I've pastored for many years, I never counsel ladies alone or in closed meetings. Why? Because I'm setting boundaries. The environment you're in. Today, young people are throwing parties, and in those parties, there's a lot of immorality. Shy away from such things. Put boundaries on your social media platforms. Many of us are on social media, and we are abusing those platforms. You know, the phone is smart. I pray that your head is also smart in terms of seeing what you watch and what you don't watch. When we put all those boundaries, we're trying to say no to sexual sin. You see, Paul writes to the church and he says in Galatians 5:34, those who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. So we belong to him. And the grace of God helps us to say no to such worldly passions. But the second part of how it helps us, how the grace of God helps us, the grace gives us the spirit power. The grace gives us spirit power. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there is freedom. So God, in his own wisdom, gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. His grace gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I have met people in my pastoral work who have put the boundaries there, who have tried to keep clean, but they're still bound. They're still bound in this enemy called sexual sin. I believe that such people need deliverance from that such perversion. They need deliverance. And how do you get deliverance? There is the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. The good news is that Jesus so graciously left us with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is that power that breaks the yokes and the chains that have held you. And so some of you, you're seated there, you're listening in and you're wondering, can I get free? Yes, you can. The power of the Holy Spirit can set you free because the Holy Spirit is here to break chains. I love what the scriptures say in John 8:36. So he, the Son, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Freedom comes through the power of the Holy Spirit that the grace of God gives us. So as I conclude, I want to remind you this amazing truth. That Jesus does not condemn you. Rather, he extends grace. And the reason why he extends grace is so that he can fill the void that is inside you. His grace draws you near, but also his grace never leaves you the same. The grace of God has appeared to all people unto salvation. It empowers you so that you may be set free. So that you can say no to sexual sin. So that you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks the shackles of fornication, of adultery, of homosexuality, of pornography, all these sexual sins. And so as I conclude, you may be wondering, Pastor, even with all my struggles of sexual sin, like these two ladies we've seen in Scripture, can God still use me? I have good news for you. I'm one of those testimonies. I struggled in my early years. I messed up. But God, in his own wisdom, in his own grace, he extended grace to me. A man who was addicted to porn and an immoral life God changed my life. But he not only changed my life, he extended grace to me and restored me. I've been married for over 10 plus years. Beautiful woman. Have two beautiful daughters. Listen, God not only sets you free from sexual sin, but he restores you to even a better ministry. When you read the woman at the well, John 4, the story did not end there. The story ended, the woman went back to her community and she shared the good news of what had happened to her. And she was one of those evangelists in her community. Her community changed. Jesus used her to change the entire community. Listen, God can restore you. God can make you even much better than you are. So what do we need to do, Pastor? We need to go before him and ask him to forgive us of our sin, of sexual immorality, that sexual sin, but also to ask him to restore us. So today I want to pray with you. Whoever you are out there, you're struggling with sexual sin, I want to pray with you. It starts by coming to Jesus to fill that void. It's the grace of God that changes men. Let's pray. I want to pray for you who is struggling in sexual sin. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every man or woman that right now is struggling with sexual sin. They're struggling with pornography. They're struggling with adultery and fornication, homosexuality, oh God. Lord, they're struggling with lustful thoughts. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of the living God today will grip their hearts, will break the chains of lust off their lives. That, Lord, they will live lives that are redeemed and restored for your glory. Lord, I pray that every guilt will turn away in the name of Jesus. Father, like you set me free many years ago, I pray for deliverance upon my brothers and sisters, that today they will behold freedom, that they will know that Jesus, you are the only true satisfaction, not sex perversions, not sexual sin. You are the true, true inner feeling. It is you who fills us, in Jesus' name. Amen. But also before I end, I want to pray for those you have heard the word. Maybe you're struggling with sexual sin, but you have never received Jesus. I want to pray that Jesus will come in your heart. When this lady at the well received Jesus, everything changed. I want to pray for you so that you receive Jesus. Father, I thank you for every man or woman out there that is listening and watching, who desires to receive you today as Lord and Savior. Lord, your grace is sufficient. So I pray that today is the day of salvation. I ask that your Holy Spirit will draw them to yourself. I thank you and I honor you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.